Hello, this is Matt Schlick from the Matt Schlick Live podcast, where I defend the Christian faith and lay out our foundations of the truth of God's Word. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network. Welcome to Truth Talk Live.
All right, let's talk.
The truth is, I can't hide it, I can't hold it anymore.
A daily program powered by the Truth Network.
This is kind of a great thing, and I'll tell you why.
Where pop culture, current events, and theology all come together.
Speak your mind.
And now, here's today's Truth Talk Live host.
Well, good afternoon. This is Dwayne Carson with Truth Talk Live. It's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to all of you. And I'm going to start this program right off with the truth. And the truth is Titus chapter 2, verse 14. It's 2:14. Paul writes, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." Titus 2:14 on February the 14th on Valentine's Day, because we want you to know the truth that God loves you, and he loves you so much he sent his son to this earth to die for you, and then he would rise from the dead, and now he offers you the greatest gift of all. It's called eternal life. He gave himself force. And that's how we want to start our Truth Talk Live show. And as we do this show today, I'm inviting you to call in and share your favorite Bible verse about the love of God. And I've given you already Titus 2:14. It's one of my favorite. And the number to call is 866-348-7884. Today, we've got a lot going on. It's Valentine's Day. It's Ash Wednesday. We're now starting to think about Easter. It's 46 days away, March the 31st. And it's also Wednesday in the Word Day. And with Wednesday in the Word, I've got with me today, my sidekick is Caleb Ittery.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, Dr. Carson, it's me, and I'm happy to be here
Ittery.
Ittery. Close enough.
Well, Caleb, we're thrilled that you're here with us today. We were in Wednesday in the Word today with Stu Epperson over at Dario and Clemens, where 60 or 70 men were together. And we had a chance this morning to hear biblical teaching from the book of Mark.
Yes.
And in a few moments, I'm going to have you read for us from the book of Mark, chapter 5. Our listeners, you can be going there if you can have an opportunity with your phone or with your Bible, Mark chapter 5. In Mark 4, we had Jesus dealing with the weather. His disciples are scared to death, Caleb. They think they're going to die because of a storm, and Jesus got up. And while we say all the time, you can't do anything about the weather, Jesus had authority over the weather. Well, right now they're going to get to the other side. And when they get to the other side, we're going to find out Jesus has authority in another area, a major area, where he's going to show that he has authority over the demons of this world. And there are demons. There were demons in his day, and there are demons in this day, and Jesus has authority over them. And so we're going to be looking today for Wednesday in the Word edition of Truth Talk Live at Mark chapter 5, 1 through 20. But again, it's Valentine's Day, and so at one of our segments here, I just want to give a little teaser to you. I'm going to share some Bible verses that you men can use to share with your spouse. And ladies, I've got some verses that you can share with your husband. So be ready for that, because there's some great verses in Song of Solomon to give to your spouse on this Valentine's Day. So that'll be coming up shortly. But right now, Mark chapter 5, 1 through 20.
Sure. Okay, so Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20 starts out as this. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the Sea of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones.
And we're going to hold right there for a quick second. We've got a picture of a monster, don't we?
Not a nice guy, that's for sure.
I mean,
definite monster.
Frankenstein. He breaks chains, okay? Now we go to verse 6.
Sure, so 6 starts, "When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me.' For he had said to him, 'Come out of the man, unclean spirit.' Then he asked him, 'What is your name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, 'Send us to the swine, that we may enter them.' And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, 'Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you.' And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled."
Wow. And all marveled at what Jesus was doing. Caleb, do you mind, go back to verse 19.
Yeah.
And for our listeners, pay close attention now. Jesus is not going to allow this man to go with him, but rather he has something else for him to do. What does he have for him to do?
Jesus says to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you."
On Truth Talk Live, we like to have the big question. And the big question that I want to put to you today, listeners, is what great things has Jesus done for you? What are those things that he has done to turn your life completely around? How he has had compassion on you? So call us at 866-348-7884.
This is the Truth Network.
Well, welcome back. Dwayne Carson here. I have a ministry called Date the Word, and that's why we gave Titus chapter 2, verse 14 on February the 14th, 2:14. And I'm with Caleb today, and we've got Buxman from Ohio on the line, and I think he may have a Bible verse on love. Buxman, how are you? What do you have for us?
Hey, love it when you fill in there, Pastor Carson. Hello, Caleb.
Hello.
Buxman from Ohio.
Well,
hey, thanks for coming back with a good report, you and Joshua, about the promised land, Caleb.
You're very welcome. You're welcome, Buxman.
So here's my verse, guys. And Pastor, if you would look it up, I forget the address, but it's where Jesus says, "There is no greater love than this, that a man lay his life down for his friend."
Yes, sir.
And it ties right into the Titus verse, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
That's a zealous work that Titus talks about. That is that zealous work when we lay our life down for our friends, Pastor Carson. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, sir. John 15:13. That's the verse you just gave us. And when we think of Valentine's, yes, greater love has no man than he lay down his life for his friend. In John 10:11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And that's what's going to take us now as we think about today being Ash Wednesday. We're now headed to Easter, where Jesus is going to do the ultimate sacrifice. He's going to die, and not die because of what he's done, but die because of what we've done. He dies in our place.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Hey, thank you for your call. Thanks for the verse. Have a happy Valentine's Day.
You too, guys.
Take care.
So, we want to hear your verse. We just heard John 15:13. Call us 866-348-7884. Also, we'd love to hear your story of God's great work, his compassion. Here we have a monster, Caleb.
Yes.
If we picture Mark 5, we've got a monster, demon-possessed, chains can't hold him. He's tormented, but he's also tormenting.
Definitely.
And now there's an encounter with Jesus. What stands out to you as you think about this encounter?
Well, the individuality of one man, Jesus, as we know, as you referred, chapter 4, they were crossing, they got the storm, Jesus calmed the storm. But prior to that, they were in another place off to sea, ministering to many people, and Jesus intentionally went across the sea to this guy.
Yes.
To this man. And it said in the scripture, this man ran up to him.
Yes.
So we have a man, we don't know what he knows, but he knows this guy, I need something from this guy. And Jesus knows exactly who this guy is, and he's coming to save him. So that's the individuality. God is all powerful, but he's also personal.
That's great, Caleb. I love it. And then and going for this personal component of one person.
Yes.
He's going to take all those demons, and he's going to cast them into 2,000 swine. Now, I grew up on a farm. We raised hogs. My dad had a stockyard, so I knew the price of hogs.
Right.
And so I went and looked, and I said, all right, how much does a top hog cost today? And that's a top hog would be about 200, 220 pounds. And I saw $175 now.
Okay.
So if every one of those hogs cost $175,
uh-huh,
2,000 of them, we're talking about $350,000. Jesus said, that soul is worth that much to me. I'm going to save him. How much is a soul worth to you? How much are you willing to spend? Been to go take the gospel to someone across the street or across the seas.
Yeah, that's the heart. That's the gospel. If I've received, that is to say, the precious blood of Christ shed for me, which is really uncountable, unmeasurable. Yeah. I can give that. I can share that to whomever will, you know, receive. But that really is. I mean, we have a priceless gift that we offer to people. For free, which was a one-time offer to us for free that we received. Praise the Lord for that.
Yeah. When we think about what Jesus did here, he changes this man's life completely. Now, you would have thought the people around here would have been thrilled.
Hmm.
But all of a sudden, we find they're asking Jesus to leave.
They do. They asked him to leave their land, their territory.
It seems like when Jesus shows up and causes people's lives to change, people whose lives have not changed get upset. And one of the things we brought out this morning, Stu brought out, was how because of what he did with these hogs, they lost their business. They lost their profit. You know, when Jesus comes into a person's life and changes them, many times those people who were making a profit off of their sins ends up losing out. And they get very upset. They get upset with a church that's in a midst of a town that's now making a difference. And the people who were profiting off of the sin are losing out. Have you ever seen anything like that, Caleb?
Sure. And I think we all, if we've walked with the Lord at any time or any length of time, you both hear testimonies of other people and you may have that in your own life, whether you used to run with certain people and then the Lord saved you, and then you have to distance yourself. You have to put a wall of separation between you and them, or it may even come down to an employer that you were working at. You leave, and you have to go elsewhere. You have to move to another part of the country, or even outside the country, as the Lord leads you. So, yeah, there's a dividing line. And as a believer, we follow the Lord wherever he leads us. And it's not the other way around. Jesus doesn't follow us wherever we want to go. But for this particular man, I mean, at the end of it, he's wanted to go with Jesus.
Yes.
And Jesus says no. So it's not always what we think we should be doing. It's what he's leading us to do that we need to do.
When we think here today on Valentine's Day, this man was shown compassion.
Yes, he was.
He was shown love. So we're right now trying to think of some verses that speak of God's love. Caleb, what might be your favorite verse when it comes to God's love?
Sure. Well, it goes along with the gospel. I very much like John 1:13. It talks about God in the salvation act. He's choosing us. And it says here, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That is, God's the one who's doing it. I don't have anything to do with it. My parents, where I was born, it's all God. And it's his choice, and it's because he loves us. Loves us, so he sent the Son, and then he chooses us, and we're saved. And that's part of the assurance that I have, that a believer has, that can't be shaken. It's a powerful thing, and I see the love of God through that in my own life.
I would wonder today if this demon-possessed man, who now, we don't know his name, but he's the delivered demon-possessed man, he might be thinking about like Romans 5:8, but how God demonstrated his love toward him, that while he was a sinner, Christ died for him. Christ came into his life while he was a sinner. And so for me, I love your verse, John 1:13. I'm Romans 5:8. I love Romans 5:8. I wish you call us. Tell us your favorite verse about God's love. 866-348-7884. It's Truth Talk Live. Give us a call.
This is the Truth Network.
Well, welcome back to Truth Talk Live. This is a special day. It's Valentine's Day. And on this Truth Talk Live day, we want to share with you on Valentine's Day some verses that you might share with your spouse. And Caleb, we've got one that matches the date.
All right.
We've got February 14th, 2:14.
2:14.
And gentlemen, listen to me now. I'm going to help you out here. I'm your friend. I'm going to give you a great Bible verse to give to your wife for Valentine's. Here it is, Song of Solomon, 2:14. Oh, my dove. Oh, what a sweet name to call his wife. Dove, that which is gentle, tender. Oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the crannies of the cliff, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Boy, talk about giving a compliment. Two of them, he wants to hear his wife's voice. It's sweet to him. He wants to see her face. It's lovely to him. Gentlemen, Song of Solomon 2:14. I'm telling you, it's the winning verse for a compliment to your wife on Valentine's Day. Now, some other time you may want to give her a verse, and I'd go with Song of Solomon 4:7. You are altogether beautiful, my love. There is no flaw in you. Now, that's a great verse for some other time. And the standby that's always phenomenal is Philippians 1:3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Now, there may be a wife out there saying, well, I need a verse to give my husband.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Caleb, Song of Solomon 5:10. It says, my beloved is dazzling and ruddy. He is outstanding among 10,000. That's a pretty good compliment right there. One version says it this way: my lover is fit and strong, notable among 10,000. So, ladies, there's some pretty good verses out there. If you go to chapter 5, ladies, from verse 10 all the way down to verse 16, you're going to find Solomon will have his wife talking about different characteristics of his life that just stood out. And she'll get to a place where she will say, how handsome are you, my beloved? So pleasant. That's in Song of Solomon 1:16. So there's some verses that you could be using for Valentine's Day and for other times. I will tell you that compliments work better on egos than criticism. So learn these verses from Song of Solomon, how Solomon complimented his wife and how his wife complimented her. So I hope that's helpful for you on this Valentine's Day. As we are thinking about this Wednesday in the Word edition of Truth Talk Live, we're in Mark 5. Mm-hmm. And Jesus now has come to the other side. He's cast out demons, not just a demon, legion, 6,000. He's cast out demons, and this man's been delivered. And Caleb, I was wondering, can you think of a Bible passage that kind of gives a picture of what happened to this man's life?
Well, one thing I could say, you know, you look to the book of Psalms.
Yes.
And Psalm 40 stands out. As a deliverance passage.
Yes.
Talk about a deliverance passage, that would be one. And specifically, verses 2 and 3. And I can go ahead and pull that up here.
Yes.
If you want, listeners, again, this is going to be Psalm 40, verses 2 and 3. And starting here, it says, "He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm, and he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord."
Many will see and trust and fear the Lord because of this great deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what a picture of being bound in sin. He talks about a pit.
Yes.
He talks about being down in that pit in the miry clay. You're stuck. And he's given us a picture of the great deliverer. Jesus rescues us. And as we are talking again today about with Valentine's Day, the great work that Jesus Christ did for us, he loved us so much that he takes us out of our worst mess. Someone said he takes our worst mess and makes a masterpiece out of us.
Hmm.
He took this guy and he gives him the ability to start singing a new song.
Yes, he does.
Caleb, I'm putting you on the spot now, but when it comes to love songs, do you have a really good love song that you sing to Jesus?
You are putting me on the spot, and the answer for that is no. That's the honest truth. I do like the Psalms. Sometimes I will just read 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 Psalms. Either I'm having a down day or I might be having a good day, and I just want to get close to the Lord. And singing, that is worshiping the Lord, you get close to him in a way that is unique.
Yeah,
that I just like.
Well, maybe we need our listeners to call in. I would love to hear from our listeners, 866-348-7884, and tell us again your favorite Bible verse on the love of God. And if you've got a song that you love to sing to the Lord about letting him know that you love him, call us and tell us about that. As we're thinking today about how this man was delivered, I'm hoping you as the listener right now will be taking a moment to think about how God delivered you. How were you rescued? For me, my testimony, I was a mess. I had gotten involved in a lot of things that I don't even like to talk about, but I got to the place where after getting saved, reading Psalms 40 for that first time, I'm like, that's who I was. Not who I am, who I was. He took me out of a horrible pit, a miry clay that was holding me back. Caleb, we were witnessing to a waitress one time, and she said she did know the Lord. And I said, okay. Really? Well, tell me about it. And she sat down and started telling. And the more I listened to her tell what had happened in her life, how she had been addicted to drugs and other things were going on, and how God had delivered her, I said, you know what you sound like to me? You sound like a Psalms 40 person. And she said, yes, sir, I am. And I've got it tattooed on my back. And I was like, oh, my word. But she had decided that she was going to have that testimony put on her back. And she almost showed it to me. Okay. And I was like, that's okay. But she said, I am a Psalms 40 person.
Right.
I have been delivered. And so I'm wondering, do we have a listener right now? God delivered you. Like this demon possessed man, he was delivered so that he could now have a new song, a new story. And Jesus is going to tell this man who wanted to follow. He wanted to become like the disciples and now travel with him. Jesus is going to say, nope, I want you to go and tell someone else. I want you to go back to your hometown. I want you to go back to your friends. I want you to go and tell. And we're going to talk more about that in a few moments as we continue with Truth Talk Live, where how powerful is your testimony? How powerful is your testimony? But for a few moments here, Caleb, let's think about some more verses about the love of God.
All right.
Jeremiah 31:3. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he has loved us. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. But Jesus, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us, now watch this, Caleb, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He loved us so much that he cleansed us. Here we have an unclean, demon-possessed man. He cleansed him. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. He does that because of his love. And then he made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And here we have one of the great doxologies from the book of Revelation. 1 Timothy 2:6 says, he gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And I'm looking to see, I think we have a caller. We're headed into a break, and we'll be right back with Truth Talk Live. And we want your calls. We want to hear about your verses concerning the love of God, a song that you may have, but also call us and tell us how God delivered you, like the man in Psalms 40. Truth Talk Live.
This is the Truth Network.
Well, you just heard a great advertisement on Song of Solomon 2:14 from Gary Chapman. When the husband says to his wife, I want you to speak. I want to hear your voice. Your voice is sweet. So again, it's Truth Talk Live. It's Valentine's Day, and we're giving you verses. If you're just joining us, husbands, I'm telling you, Song of Solomon 2:14, that's a winning verse today to give to your spouse, not only as a written verse, but live it out before her. We've got Rachel on the line right now, and she's going to be sharing with us her favorite verse. Rachel, what do you have for us?
Well, good afternoon, and it's not necessarily my favorite verse. It's high with that, and it's in conjunction with the new song verse that was read, and, excuse me, it's Isaiah 43:19, and excuse me, it reads, "See, I am doing a new thing.
Yes.
Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." And I'm thinking that God had required something. He had required something, a turn, a repentance, for him to then repent what he had put on them and to bring them through. To me, this one, the new song is deliverance just because. He's not doing it out of some action that they had to bring forth, and it reminds me of, or like a prelude to what he was going to do for us through Jesus, because we offer nothing. The only thing we offer is dirty, filthy rag sin.
Yes.
And Jesus, because of who he is, because of love, because it was ordained by God that regardless of who we are, what we are, what we've done, here we have the opportunity to fall into that great, the ultimate, just awesome love.
We stand amazed at his love, do we not?
Can't even, I'm in a chill.
Yeah. You know, Paul wrote to the Ephesians and said his prayer was that they would be able to comprehend the love of God. And it is so difficult because we know ourselves, as we get honest, how could God really love a sinner so unclean, so filthy? But that's what this love story is. God loved the world so much, he sent his son to die for us.
Rachel, only because he's God.
That's right. That's right. Rachel, thank you for your call. Isaiah 43:19.
Amen.
Caleb, I asked you if you had a song, and I kind of caught you off guard, but you do have a hymn that you love to sing to the Lord.
Well, we were talking about this, and of course, I think we all do, but I would say one I learned when I was a little boy, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And it's simple, and it's pure, and it's true. One of the strengths of the childlike faith that the scripture talks about is that's what's needed. And that's something that we maintain as we walk with him. So whether you learn that as a child or you are 55 years old and you get saved, you know, that idea, that song to the Lord is a very powerful reminder of exactly what Rachel was talking about there. Yeah.
I can't recall right now the theologian, but he was asked a question, could he sum up the Bible in one sentence? And he said, yes, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Amen.
And then when you come to know the Lord, there was a hymn for me that I always loved to sing, still sing it, Oh, How I Love Jesus.
Mm-hmm,
I love him because he first loved me. It doesn't start with me, as Rachel said. It's not starting with me. It starts with his love. He reaches out to us. That cross is such a picture of him reaching out to us. Well, as we're talking today about a demon-possessed man having his life radically changed, he's going to have these demons out of him. He's so changed, now he wants to spend time with Jesus, but Jesus has not saved him to spend time with him, but rather to be sent, back. He asked Jesus, I want to go with you. No, I'm glad you want to go with me, but what I want you to do, and that scripture is so clear, it says, I want you to go home to your friends and tell them. Go and tell. And so, Caleb, as we think about the power of a testimony, what comes to your mind as you think about how a testimony can bring about a change in a person's life?
The testimony is what the Lord has done for you. Now, Rachel hinted at that a little bit even in that verse. Each of us who is saved has a testimony. And each of us who is saved by obeying the Great Commission is going to share the love of God with someone else. And eventually, the testimony is going to come out. Whether that person knew us in the old in the old person or not, at a certain point, you are going to bring something out, or they're going to ask you a question, and you're going to be able to articulate how the Lord has changed you. He's made you new, and you're going to be able to use examples from your life about that. And people listen. People listen to stories. Yes, they like stories, but people listen to, what is this person actually telling me? And what they're telling me is that they went through a transformation, and that some people get attracted by that, some people get turned off by it. But that is the Great Commission. We're called to share, and the rest is up to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, one of the great songs that I think this demon-possessed, delivered man would now sing is Amazing Grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. And that's a testimony of what God has done in a person's life that changes. And it's hard to argue with a story because you're not telling what you've done. You're telling what someone else did for you. And I want to give a challenge to listeners right now. Take what happened with this man and your great deliverance, your story of how God changed your life, and be a person who goes and tells. You've got family members. They need to hear how Jesus can change their life. You got friends, you got relatives, you got associates, people you work with, you got neighbors. Go to them, go and tell. It's not about them coming to you. You go to them and tell them, share with them. I wonder today on Valentine's Day, how strong is the love of God in your life as 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, the love of God compels us. And I just find the more I know about God and how much he loves me, I want other people to know it, because I've dealt with people who thought there's no way God could love me. Well, I was there. I was sure there's no way God could love me. And a 12-year-old girl said, well, all I can tell you, Dwayne, is I love you and God does love you. And that started me on a spiritual journey. It was her love and her just conviction that God did love. For God so loved the world. That's not just a cliche. We don't just throw that around. He truly has gone to the extent of his son dying for us. There's no greater love. On this Valentine's Day, hear me, there's no greater love than Jesus Christ dying for you. And on this day, February the 14th, 2:14, I do want you to think about Titus 2:14. We get this from Date the Word, who gave himself for us. Just ponder on that thought right there. Caleb, what does that mean to you, who gave himself for you, us?
Well, it's you can't grasp it totally, but you can grasp his love that he gave. A person gives something. If you have children, you give them something. You give them a gift. You give them your love. But it's because you love them, and at a certain point, the child grows up, and they gain an understanding of what it cost you to give them new clothes or a toy or whatever. And they say, wow, you know, I can see through that, the love my parent was displaying to me. But this is not a material thing or an emotional thing. This is eternal life he gives us because of what you said. He died on the cross for our sins because God so loved us. He gave his son. And, you know, in the Date the Word app, in the Date the Word ministry, in the Date the Word app, you have not only verses for every day, you have a reading list as we go up to Easter. You also have a list of verses for every day if that might be your birthday. So, you know, there's a lot of material in there to get into the Word through the Date the Word app, which you can get on your phone and take with you as you go, as you share, as the Lord leads you, because studying the Word, you learn more about him. Studying the Word, you meditate on what he's done for us. And even like the caller, Rachel, called in, she gave us that verse out of Isaiah that she'd been meditating on. That's powerful. That's another gift he's given us. A love letter from God, as Stu likes to say.
The love letter from God. And thank you for saying some things about Date the Word. Again, I am Dwayne Carson, being able to host today Truth Talk Live, and I have a ministry called Date the Word, and we're excited to let people know we do now have an app, and you can download that app from your from Google Play, from the Apple Store. It's just Date the Word, and you would see right off the bat, there's a verse for the date, And today, 2:14, click that on. You'll see Titus 2:14. We also, as you were saying, we put together a game plan, if you will, for reading during the month of March, a March to Remember, because as we are going to Easter, we want to remember Jesus. So check out that app, Date the Word. This is Truth Talk Live. The truth will set you free. And we pray God's blessings. Happy Valentine's Day. Go with God.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.